Good morning. Welcome to Christ for Us. This is Pastor Rolf Preuss of First Confessional Lutheran Parish, First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, First Stavanger Lutheran Church in Fertile, and Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston. Lead us not into temptation. Jesus teaches. He teaches in the Lord's Prayer, but the way this particular petition is worded has troubled some. Would God actually lead us into temptation? The answer of the Bible is clear. St. James writes, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am tempted by God.' For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he himself tempt anyone. But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is full grown, brings forth death." Here, the Bible makes it clear that God can't tempt anyone because God is incapable of sin. Now, if it appears that God has done evil or tempted people to do evil, that appearance is deceiving. In our day, it has become fashionable for some to put God on trial, especially in light of the horror inflicted on the world during the 20th century by such devils as Joseph Stalin, Adolf Hitler, and Mao Zedong. Some people have suggested that God himself is to blame for the evil in this world. But that is not possible. Luther's Small Catechism says it rightly, that there is a threefold source of all evil in the world: the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. And as we say in the Catechism, we pray in this petition that God would guard and keep us so that the devil, the world, and our own flesh may not deceive us nor lead us into misbelief, despair, and other shameful sin and vice. The devil tempts us with false doctrine. The world tempts us with false promises. Our sinful flesh tempts us with a false faith. The devil is the author of false doctrine. Jesus said concerning the false prophets, "By their fruits you shall know them." The devil cannot but lie, and God tells us the truth. Jesus called the devil the father of lies. He called him a murderer because he murders people by lying to them. False teaching produces false faith, and false faith cannot save. St. Paul warns Timothy of the doctrine of demons. Now, our generation doesn't care a whole lot about pure doctrine, and that is because it doesn't care a whole lot about the soul. The idea that we can care about bringing Christ to the world and at the same time care little about keeping his doctrine sound is an absurd and, yes, satanic lie. It is the truth by which God saves sinners. False teaching is how the devil destroys faith. So when we pray, "Lead us not into temptation," we are asking God to preserve us from false teaching. All false teaching is designed to destroy the saving truth about Jesus. Now, that doesn't mean that all false teaching is directly focused on Jesus. The devil is quite clever. Sometimes the indirect attack is as potent as the direct attack. The devil attacks Jesus by attacking something else closely tied to Jesus. Specifically, he attacks the Bible and the sacraments. The attack on the Bible from within the church itself has been going on for at least a couple of hundred years. Theologians who train future pastors question the reliability of the Bible's historical accounts. And that is the devil's work. Because if the devil can get people to question the truthfulness of the Bible, he has destroyed the source and standard of Christian living. If the Bible can be mistaken, what shall be the judge of the church's teachings? So the devil attacks the Bible. The Bible says God said it, and so it was. The Bible says that Adam and Eve were the first human beings, and that Adam was created out of the dust of the ground and Eve out of his rib. The devil says that this is a myth, and that God created things by a process of evolution that took billions of years. If the Bible is God's word, Adam and Eve were the first human beings, and they were made in the image of God. Their origin and our origin are not from the animals, but from God personally. Of course, the attack on the historicity of Genesis flows into many other assaults on biblical teaching as well. For example, in Genesis, we learn about marriage between one man and one woman. But if this account isn't literally true, perhaps the church could accommodate teaching that men could marry men, or women could marry women, or that a man could move in with a woman and be intimate without being married. In Genesis, we also learn of the historic fall into sin. But if that never actually happened, then the doctrine of original sin is lost. So you see, the attack on the reliability of the Bible and its historical accuracy is quite literally a demonic assault. It is the devil that uses respectable clergymen, and that makes it much more effective. Once people lose confidence in the Bible as the inerrant written word of God, it's only a matter of time before they will lose the Christ of the Bible as the sinless incarnate word who came to be our Savior. So the attack on the Bible is the devil's attack on Jesus, the cradle that bears Christ to this world. The devil also directs his attacks on the sacraments. The Bible teaches us that holy baptism is how God washes away our sin. It is a gracious washing of rebirth that is accomplished by the Holy Spirit, and it's God's doing, not ours. The minister is nothing but God's instrument, and the one being baptized is receiving God's favor, not doing God a favor. By turning holy baptism into a work that we do, instead of a means of grace from God, the devil deprives us of the comfort and strength that baptism provides. He thus attacks our faith. He does the same thing with the sacrament of the altar. By persuading people that the body and blood of Jesus that give us forgiveness of sins, life, and salvation are not the body and blood of Jesus at all, but only bread and wine by which we remember a Jesus who is bodily absent from his church, the devil attacks the very foundation of our faith. Now, Christian people who are misled by the devil are not our enemies. They are our brothers and sisters. The devil is the enemy, and he tempts us away from Christ, not by attacking Christ directly, but by attacking the Bible and the sacraments that bring Christ to us. It's like keeping hungry people from the city where the food is, not by destroying the city, but by blowing up the only bridge that will take people into the city. The devil tempts us into false belief by attacking the source of faith, God's word and sacraments. And his real goal is to sever the Christian from Christ. He doesn't want us trusting that our sins are forgiven by the blood of Jesus. He wants us to trust in what we do, not in what Christ has done for us. He wants us to doubt that our sins are forgiven solely by God's grace for Christ's sake. Because the devil knows perfectly well how this knowledge of the gospel is our greatest protection against the temptations of the world and the flesh. Only those who know that Jesus has taken away their sin can know that they stand righteous before God. Only this full and free forgiveness can take us from sin to righteousness, from death to life, from earth to heaven, from spiritual blindness to the new birth. Only the preaching of the cross that is grounded in the Bible and joined to the sacraments can bring us true confidence to stand up against the devil's temptations. It is, as the hymnist put it in those beautiful words, "To me the preaching of the cross is wisdom everlasting. Thy death alone redeems my loss, on thee my burden casting. I in thy name a refuge claim from sin and death and from all shame. Blessed be thy name, O Jesus." This is the truth that the devil hates, and every false teaching he has ever invented is designed to overthrow this precious gospel. The devil tempts us with false doctrine. The world tempts us with false promises. It's easy for most people to see how pathetic the drug addict or the drunkard is. He runs after a pleasant feeling that is only temporary, and he keeps on running after it, even after it leaves him empty, unsatisfied, broke, out of work, with ruined relationships, broken marriage, and no true friends. And what does he then want to do? He wants to run right back to the bottle or the pot or the pill that caused him such misery to begin with. These are the temptations of the world, even the more respectable ones. Sex, power, money, whatever other idols the world offers, can never satisfy because they can't last. And as the hymnist puts it, they prove to be burdens that vex us and chafe us, and true lasting happiness never vouchsafe us. The temptations of the world offer a false hope that can never be delivered. Our sinful flesh tempts us with a false faith. The flesh isn't just a reference to the desire to sin sexually. The flesh is a reference to what we in our sinful condition want. And what is that? The very opposite of what the Lord's Prayer prays for. What does our sinful flesh want? Not to hallow God's name, but to make a name for itself. Not for God's kingdom to come, but to rule in God's place. Not God's will, but ours. Not daily bread, but vain riches. Not forgiveness of sins freely given by God's grace, but the pride and the glory of works righteousness. The flesh, in short, loves the devil's religions because the devil's religions glorify sinful man and deny the grace of God in Christ. And they leave us empty. False faith leads us to despair. That is, to deny that God can do anything at all for us. Looking for God's help apart from Jesus is to look in vain. How does God enable us to overcome all temptations and gain the victory? He does so by directing us to Jesus. In the epistle to the Hebrews, he is called the author and finisher of our faith, who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. He faced the temptations common to us all. He faced them as our champion, and he overcame. This means that in Christ, temptation cannot destroy us. Even when we sin, he remains our mediator. He remains our champion. He intercedes, and he leads us out of temptation into heaven. I walk with Jesus all the way. His guidance never fails me. Within his wounds, I find a stay when Satan's power assails me. And by his footsteps led, my path I safely tread. In spite of ills that threaten me, I walk with Jesus all the way. My walk is heavenward all the way. Await, my soul, the morrow when thou shalt find release for a from all life's sin and sorrow. All worldly pomp be gone. To heaven I now press on. For all the world I would not stay. My walk is heavenward all the way. Amen. We thank you for being with us today on Christ for Us, a confessional Lutheran broadcast. Please come and visit us at one of our congregations. First, Evanger Lutheran Church at Fertile, 8 o'clock on a Sunday morning. Grace Lutheran Church in Crookston, 9:30 on a Sunday morning. And First American Lutheran Church in Mayville, 11:30 on a Sunday morning. Please tune in next Sunday, same station, for the next broadcast of Christ for Us.